In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's gospel is the first of the great feeding stories. There were two, of course. And this first one is covered in all four gospels. It's one of those unusual passages that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all decide to cover. But it's more than just a mere astonishing miracle. There's something a lot more profound in this whole story that we have to be careful lest we miss the true significance of it, because it is truly a presage to the Eucharist. That's what this whole thing is all about, and that's what everything that the Lord does in this story today has in mind: the feeding of all mankind. Now think about that for a minute. We can't really look at the depth of this passage without examining some of the other gospels and what they say. For instance, Matthew seems to emphasize the fact that it was Jesus' healing of the sick that caused the crowd to follow him, and that was something he was very intent on doing, whereas Mark speaks of his teaching the crowd. But of course, we have to back up even further than that. What had just happened to have Jesus go away from the crowd into an area that he had not been into? Well, it was the announcement of the death of John the Baptist. Jesus had been told this. We don't know, aside from the few things that are said, how he was feeling about this at the time. We do know that it provoked him to go off, to get away from the city. And the crowds were following him in huge numbers, so much so that they took shortcuts to where he was going, so that by the time he got to where he was going, there was already a crowd waiting for him there. So he couldn't get away from them. But the gospel tells us that he looked upon the crowds with great compassion and healed them all and taught them. And this was something that was perhaps provoked by the announcement of the death of the last and greatest of all the prophets, John the Baptist. But then there are some other things that are said also that if we hear, we might understand what this miracle was about a little more. In the book of John, in chapter 6, the Lord is talking about the people that had come to him because they had been fed and were following him around. And he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." In other words, they were seeking some signs and wonders from Jesus that would help them in their daily lives. "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." And again he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Of course, what is he referring to? What was the bread of heaven that Moses gave? If you'll hearken back to the book of Exodus in chapter 16, only about 2 months after the Israelites had crossed the Red Sea and the great miracle that happened then. Well, all of a sudden the people, no surprise, we're jumping on the backs of Moses and Aaron yet again, saying, "You've brought us out here into the wilderness. We've got absolutely nothing to eat. At least when we were back there in slavery, we had meat and drink and were well fed." And of course, Moses and Aaron answered them, essentially, "Why are you yelling at us? We didn't do anything. Your complaint is against God, and he has heard you. And he is going to show you that he will feed you out in this wilderness." And so by night, God sent quail, just flocks and flocks of quail, so that they had all the meat that they wanted. And in the morning, when the dew rose, There was a substance that was said tastes like coriander and honey that was sort of ice-like, but yet when it thawed, it had texture to it. And that was called manna. That was the manna from heaven that the Lord sent and that the Israelites lived on for 40 years while they were in the desert. So God did indeed feed them at that time. He fed them all. And of course, if we go back to today's gospel, we see essentially a fulfillment of that. Again, the crowds are coming to him. So many that the gospel says about 5,000 men. And many have calculated if you included the women and children, there could be 15 to 30,000 people that were fed that day. And if you look at the population of Palestine at that time, that was 1/10 of the nation that the Lord fed with this particular miracle. 1/10. If we look back into John then, when the Lord again speaks about himself being the living bread, what does he say? I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. This is the second part of the chapter 6 of John, the first part of which also talks about the feeding of the 5,000. And the Jews were quarreling among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And then what does the Lord say? Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. And so we see now, after the feeding of the 5,000, the Lord transitioning over to what the real meaning of the miracle was. Not simply earthly sustenance, although he laid that groundwork in order to fulfill the typology of what happened in the 16th chapter of Exodus to the people of Israel. But now he's taking it a step further. And he says, not the bread that you find on the ground after the dew rises, but me in front of you. I am flesh, I am blood, and unless you partake of me, my flesh, which is real meat, my blood, which is real drink, you will have no life in you. No life. So this whole thing, this whole feeding of the 5,000 is something which is hearkening to us to listen to the words of the Lord as he describes the Eucharist. The Eucharistic rite, why he came to us and what he wants to give to us. And if you look at what he did when he was feeding the 5,000, the disciples came to him and said, you know, Master, there are so many thousands of people. Let us send them into the cities. Let's send them to the cities so that they can get something to eat. And the Lord said, you give them something to eat. We've got 5 loaves and 2 fish, and that's it. You give them something to eat. And the Lord told them all to sit down. And the disciples grouped them in groups of hundreds. And that's also interesting because we read in Exodus that the same thing happened when the Israelites were being fed, that they were divided into sections. And the Lord does the same thing here. You give them something to eat. And what does he do? He takes the bread, the 5 loaves, and he blesses it. And he gives thanks. And he gives it to his disciples. And the disciples distribute it to the faithful. Right there, we have this amazing, amazing passage full of eschatology, full of Eucharistic theology, full of ecclesiology. For he's taking the bread and giving thanks as he did at the Last Supper. And then he's breaking it and giving it to his disciples. And then the disciples, who would become the head of all the bishops that ever live on earth, he's telling them to give it to the faithful. And that's the icon of what we have in the church today. An absolute icon. What an amazing thing. So many people read this and they think of this as just a miracle. And it was just a miracle, an astounding miracle. One that everyone there would never forget. Although the apostles seemed to a little bit later on, but that's another story. But at the time, it was something that was so astounding to people. But as we look back on it now, we see what the real meaning was. We see that the Lord in that miracle was just doing for all the people what he was going to do for his church. That he was giving his body and his blood. And he was telling all of us, scandal though you may have because of the words I'm saying, if you don't eat of this bread, my body, and if you don't drink of this wine, my blood, then you're going to have no life in you. Not just physical life, but spiritual life. So let's remember these things as we read these passages. The scriptures are so full of incredible meaning on so many different levels. Some of the fathers have talked about the five loaves as essentially being the cleansing and purification of our five senses. And that the two fish were the Gospels and then the Epistles and Acts of the Apostle of the New Testament. So many different levels. But this was essentially a Eucharistic miracle that was given to all that would be completed later. And we must never forget those words of the Lord, how important it is to receive Holy Communion regularly with a purified heart, with preparation. And I say preparation so that it doesn't become something that's automatic, so that it's something that we know inside is a special gift that was given to us, that gives us eternal life right here and now. That's what the Lord offers. That's what he offers. Let's not ever turn away from the gifts that he gives. Amen.